Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Teron Davenport with us at 8 o'clock. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. The Rob Rant later this hour at 7:45. All that ahead. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on Cam Ward. Taking your thoughts on Rex Rhodes' love for Mason Rudolph as backup quarterback. We have already learned and listened to the audio of him calling Rudolph a top three quarterback in the league last year. Let's hear now audio of Rex Rhodes saying that he would take Mason Rudolph over Drake May. Go ahead, Ian.
The question with backup quarterback is right now you have to win a game and figure out a way to win a game with a QB. I'm absolutely going Mason Rudolph over Drake May. I think that soon enough, Drake May will be a starter and will be a better option at quarterback than Mason Rudolph. But right now, I'm not taking a rookie.
There we go. Rudolph over May. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah. Are you serious?
Of course
that's
I am.
That's 100% correct. That was Drake May before he played a snap in the NFL.
All I heard there was you say that you would take Rudolph over Drake May. That's all I heard.
Okay. All right. Like, that's fine. You guys want to gang up on me? That's fine.
By the way, who's
I'm
leading
here, Trent?
Ian, who's leading MVP odds right now?
I believe it's Drake May.
Oh, okay. All
right. Yes.
I think Drake May might have been better than Mason Rudolph when he was still when Drake May was still in college.
I think there may be some truth to that.
I think maybe in junior high. I think maybe Luke May might be a top 20 backup in the NFL right now. There's my take.
The deeper we go into this audio, the more fun it gets. I really enjoy it. Really enjoy it. By the time the next break happens, Joe, we could have a lot of stuff that we've uncovered here in this clip.
Apparently, I didn't realize my love for Mason Rudolph was this deep, but apparently I had an issue. Maybe I just haven't felt right all fall. Maybe it's missing Mason.
That's what it is. One texter says, I used to get 2 years before you were bust. Then it was 1 year. Now I guess it's 9 games. Are people calling Ward a bust at this point? I haven't seen very many people doing that. I'm sure. I mean, there are some fans on Twitter, I'm sure, that do that. But
the still Billy is probably. I bet you he said that word 50 times,
okay,
and tied it to him, right? I mean, again, I know that like that's the extreme of, you know, non-thought at times when it comes to football and other things. But I mean, like I have seen it some. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Now it's also ridiculous to say you know for sure he's going to be great, or oh, you're all in and this is going to work out. I mean, I just. The truth is probably somewhere in there. And again, to me, it's like, can he be a good enough quarterback that if you have a great team, you can win at a high level?
Yeah.
I mean, there's such a bad team. It's just so far away, you know, but at some point it's going to need to be him who, you know, steps forward, shows growth, shows progress. And hopefully while getting supported with better offense, all that stuff. But at some point, like, you know, he has to step forward and improve. And there's a lot of improvement he has to make, like you just said.
Can I make an admission to you that I'm not proud of? For the first time last night, Joe, November the 13th, I was sitting on the couch. I'm watching the Patriots and the Jets game last night. And what did I do? I fired up my phone.
And, did you do a mock?
I fired up the mock draft simulator. I did last night on November the 13th, a mock draft simulator. I was like, well, Titans are number one right now. Let's see what we got. A lot of trade offers, by the way.
Well, you may as well tell us what you ended up with then.
I think I traded from 1 to 5 and ended up with 2 first-round picks in 2027 from the Jets. And also got their 5th overall pick, 32nd and 36, something like that. So made out and end up with Reuben Bain at number 5. So I felt good about it.
Oh, dang. Well, that's a good outcome.
Yeah.
Good job. Know.
Also ended up with Eli Stowers in the 6th round. So I don't know how realistic this mock draft simulator is going to be. It's like 6th round, huh? How about that?
So the simulator hates Vanderbilt just like the playoff selection.
I guess so.
Oh, that's good to know. Wow. Any Pavia? Anyone draft Pavia?
I did not see Pavia. Nope. Didn't see. I did see Joey Aguilar got drafted like with the last pick by somebody. So that's where I was at last night.
Mr. Irrelevant.
I was like, thank God. November 13th has come around, and I've decided to fire up a mock draft simulator. That's what the Titans have done to me.
Well, it happens. I mean, you know, I say if you enjoy doing the mock draft simulator, then I say do it. You know, just don't we have to try to not do it a lot on the show, but I think if Titans fans want to do it, then they should do it.
One texter on the Cam Ward front says, I could see him being in the Dak Prescott range, and I would love to have Dak. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. I don't know. Like, first off,
Dak
Prescott's good. Yep, he's a good player. And, you know, I know the Cowboys are kind of a dumpster fire with everything going on with them, but, I mean, he's been pretty good this year. He's completing almost 70% of his passes, 2,300 yards, 17 touchdowns, 6 picks, and the offense is not the problem with Dallas this year.
Yeah, look, again, yeah, first of all, I would agree. Anybody who says right now, would you like better? Sure. But right now, if you're a Titans fan and someone said he will be the same quality of player as Dak Prescott, you should not be upset about that. Of course you'd like better, but I mean.
And do you remember the conversation we had in the offseason, how mad people got when I said, would you accept Cam Ward turning into what Baker Mayfield is now in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I mean, it's
who, guys, by the way, I mean, he's having, you know, he's probably not going to win MVP, but he's having an MVP type of season down there in Tampa Bay.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, he's pretty far away from that right now, obviously. They are so bad, it shrouds it a little bit. But, yeah, those are outcomes that, like, again, people, I don't want to start this again, but I keep bringing it up. You know, people are like, oh, Tannehill never could have won. Well, you're full of crap. If Tannehill throws one less pick, they're in the AFC title game for the second time in 3 years. They almost won at Kansas City the first time. They had they had 2 10-point leads. You know, the defense eventually broke against Patrick Mahomes. How could you possibly say that they could not have won, that they could not have beat the Chiefs at home, that they could not have beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, the team that they went out and kicked their butt like a month earlier? Like, you can't possibly say that. And you can't tell me that Dak Prescott, if he had a competent owner / GM, that he isn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. Is he the guy who can carry team to Super Bowl? No. But guess who are? Josh Allen, no Super Bowls. Lamar Jackson, no Super Bowls. Joe Burrow, no. Those are the ones who can carry teams. They haven't won anything. So, yeah, this is getting repetitive with me, but it's like, you know, you have to be realistic. Like, just because someone isn't going to be a top five quarterback does not mean they are a bust. There's a huge area in between.
There's a huge area in between. And frankly, right now, you know, if you told me that Cam Ward got to that area in between next year, I would take it, man. I would take it right now in a heartbeat, because right now he's a long way from that. And again, that's not a huge surprise based on, I mean, we talked about this the day he was drafted. You know, Cam Ward was not a, you know, generational type of prospect. He's got some good ability to him. He's got a great arm. There's a lot of things to like about him, which is why they took him number one overall. But he wasn't like some just perfect prospect out there. And the Titans are awful. Like we talked about, none of this is that new right now. They're probably worse than even maybe I thought they were heading into the year, which is disappointing. But the Titans are awful. We talked about this the moment he was drafted. He has not been set up for success here with this organization. And the question is that going to change at any point? Or are the Titans such a problem right now that they can't just dig themselves out of this massive hole that they're in? That's what it comes down to. And yeah, some of that's on him. A lot of it's not, though. A lot of that's about what's around him right now.
Yeah, and again, at some point, you may get to the Mariota point. And again, right now, he's not playing at that level. He's not playing as a rookie. He's not showing as much as a rookie as Mariota did.
No.
If he has Mariota's second year, we will all be declaring that Cam Ward is the next star. That's funny. I saw a tweet last night. It was like, I have no, somebody in Titans Twitter, but it was like an old Peter King screenshot, which first of all made me like go, yeah, I kind of miss Peter King. But it was like Peter King on some Sunday in 2016. It was like November. It was like, you know, the Titans had their guy for a long time. And that's what I thought too. I mean, I know you were sitting there hating him the whole time, but If Cam Ward has the season Mariota had as a second season, we will all be declaring this is the guy,
yeah.
And you still don't know. You know, and it's just – it's a long process, but obviously everybody would love to have that problem.
This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week, the Chiefs taking on the Broncos at 325 on 102.5 The Game. NFL Game of the Week presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. We'll take more of your thoughts on Cam Ward, plus some local coaches. They need some fans in the building. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans-Texans game this Sunday? Stop by John Bon Jovi's. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway. Cold beer, cocktails, stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Catch the pregame show next Sunday on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works and Old National Bank. I hope you people realize how good Ian Safar is. We were talking about this song before the show. It's been in my head for 2 days, and he just fires it up, throws it in here. Good stuff from Ian Safar. As always, we'll have the Rob rant coming up at 7:45 here on the show. Joe, some Vanderbilt coaches making news over the last few days here. And Mark Byington, men's basketball coach, Shea Ralph, women's basketball coach at Vanderbilt. Both in their own way, Joe, kind of, I don't know, calling out the fans a little bit at Vanderbilt. You know, the college basketball season has begun. And Shea Ralph said this first on November the 10th after they won against Furman. Quote, come watch us. It's a great experience. It's fun. We play the game the right way. We'll interact with your family. If you bring them, they'll have an amazing in-game experience. Yeah, but come to Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt Athletics is on fire right now, and we're part of that. And you can see what it looks like. The atmosphere creates this undeniable home court advantage. We desperately need that, especially in the league that we play. So I will do anything to get more fans at the game. That was Shea Ralph. Mark Byington, more recently, after their game the other day against Eastern Kentucky, said, quote, we've got to do more with Memorial. We've got to support this team now and build along the way and not wait for an opponent to come in and take over the place. And the people that came out tonight, we really appreciate your support. The ones that are watching at home, we don't feel that support. We need more people in Memorial. This place is great. It's loud. We talk about Memorial magic, but the truth behind the magic is when people are in the stands. So, Joe, that has generated a lot of reaction here locally over the last couple of days. What are your thoughts on Shea Ralph and Mark Byington at Vanderbilt basically pleading for more fans to be in the building at Memorial Gym?
Yeah, there's a lot to this. And on the one hand, I think it's been particularly low this year. So you got to have the proper context on that. Like even related, I was just reading a really good Aria Gerson story that I'm sure we talked about at the time, you know, back from 2023, kind of going into like the decline really from like 2010-11 in Memorial Gym. And there's a big graphic that goes with it to the, you know, to that point, which of course was the end, you know, Jerry Stackhouse era ending. There's a fan quote of this story. It's like, one of the factors in him not going to the game is that Stackhouse blocked him on Twitter. but
one
it's
of the
a,
factors
yeah, really
of him
well,
going not going to the game was the coach hated him.
Yeah. but so there's a lot to this. And on to some extent I have sympathy because I think both coaches are good. I think both teams are going to be in the NCAA tournament again. So it's not like out of the blue, like starting to – I mean, look, like Shea Ralph, I mean, frankly, like that team, and they had some they had defection and injury, things like that, or I think they could be a top 10 team. But Michaela Blake's to me is like – I would say – for anybody who just likes basketball, likes great, you know, sports athletes, et cetera, like she's worth the price of admission. But I also, a couple things here on the schedule. First of all, let's go to the schedules. Okay. So here's the men's schedule at home. Lipscomb, which by the way, I'm going to get to that angle too. Good for them playing Lipscomb. Need a whole lot more of that. Okay, but Lipscomb, Eastern Kentucky, Arkansas Pine Bluff, Texas Southern, SMU, There's a Power Four team. Central Arkansas and New Haven. That is the men's home non-league schedule. Obviously, the SEC, you're going to have you're going to have Bama coming in here and Florida coming here and Kentucky coming in here and Tennessee. I mean, it's, you know, the SEC is amazing. Last year is the greatest conference of all time. That will be, I mean, frankly, that will be much better. But when you hear that schedule, what comes to mind?
Nothing. I mean, I don't want to see it is what comes to mind.
I mean, like,
certainly don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, like you have, I mean, you are competing with this city. You're just competing with a lot of things. And so I would look at that and I would say, look, I understand it's not easy. I know it's not easy. Our assistant to the regional executive co-producer, Tom Izzo, he's got Arkansas Duke coming in to East Lansing. But I mean, there's lots of years where they don't have a game that's all that attractive, and the attractive games are like at the Champions Classic when they play Kentucky, you know, or
the aircraft
Duke.
Carrier, yeah,
yeah, exactly. So I get it; it's not easy to get good games, but I mean, to me, you gotta have more than that. Okay, let's go to the women's Vanderbilt schedule at home: Furman, Alabama State, TSU. Again, I give a shout out on that because that's part of this too. But still, you know, okay, Virginia is, you know, and that's the SEC ACC challenge. Then you have South Florida. Then you have University of Albany. You have Texas Southern. You have Stonehill.
Yeah.
Okay. And then again, get to the SEC. The SEC is awesome. It's an incredible conference in women's basketball. There's going to be a bunch of big games, but it's hard. Like, there's a few things too. Okay. So you have to schedule, you have to give people more than that. First of all, also, I do think there's probably something to, I've heard this from some Vanderbilt fans, like, and it's not necessarily quote unquote an excuse, but like they're not used to football being the dominant thing at this point. You know what I mean? Like, it revolves around football. And I know you as a Tennessee fan, I think there's plenty of Tennessee fans who can speak to, like, but it's just hard to get your head into basketball until football's over if you have good football.
Yeah, I don't even turn my attention to it until football's over.
I mean, you are especially.
I am. But yeah, I realize I'm a little bit more extreme there. But, like, I think for most, maybe I shouldn't say most, a lot of Tennessee fans, they don't even pay attention to college basketball until football's over.
Yeah, I think it's probably – I'm sure it's more now, right? Like, yeah. I'm sure it's more now. I mean, like they got some big games coming up, you know? Like, I think Tennessee fans – but, yes, it's taken some time to get to that. And it's still – if football – like, if the Vols were in the playoff race right now, you know, like, yeah, maybe some people different. Are like, well, okay, yeah. So, like, look, Vanderbilt football is an incredible story. It's dominant. They're filling that stadium, all that. Now, again – the numbers are very low. So would I say that you would hope some people would show up just because these are now good programs? I mean, it's early for Mark Byington, but it's promising. He has a good team. Like, this is a good team. Last year's team, of course, gets the tournament. This team, again, the problem is they're not going to play very many games where you can tell that much. And so I know that I hesitate to blame a coach on that because I know scheduling is difficult, but you know, you got to find a way to have more attractive games, but he's got a good team. That's a team that I think is going to make the NCAA tournament, although the SEC is a meat grinder and you know, sometimes that can eat up teams, but I think they could do stuff in the tournament. And again, I think the same thing of Shea Ralph's team. Michaela Blakes is an incredible player. They have the freshman point guard who's, I think, really promising. Posada's playing well. Like, they got a chance to do things. So you would hope that there would be some, like, just because the teams are good, the programs are good, there's some players, especially, again, with Blakes, that you can attach to. You'd hope for a little bit better than apparently it has been. But you got to give people more. And the biggest thing, Robbie, is I'll get to it next, what we've desperately, desperately needed around here. And I don't know why it doesn't happen, but it has to happen.
615-737-1025, our phone number. What do you make of Shea Ralph, Mark Byington saying, hey, we got to get more fans in the building at Memorial Gym? We'll take your thoughts on that. Rob Rant coming up at 745, all that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on Vanderbilt
Mark Byington, Shea Ralph, they want more fans in the building. Your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, one texter says, there's only so much Vanderbilt energy that can be pumped into the universe. Right now, all that's going towards football in the season. They're having, once that's over, the basketball programs will get their due. Sam says, lifetime Vanderbilt fan, but always wondered why a recruit would go to Vandy with a lack of fan support. It's like the football team plays 8 SEC road games every year. It's been a little bit different this year, a little bit different.
You should have been there last week. Now, there was still a lot of Auburn fans, but, you know, like when Vanderbilt did something good versus when Auburn did something good, so it wasn't like it was a bowl game, like it was 50-50. It was an amazing atmosphere. And, look, man, Memorial Gym, shoot, the much maligned Stackhouse era. I'll go back to the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game from a couple years ago where, oh, my gosh, lefty in the corner.
I remember the shot. Vanderbilt. I don't remember the name. Yeah.
I feel Tyron Lawrence.
There it is.
Now, look, were there a lot of Tennessee fans in the building? Yes. But if you were a recruit visiting Vanderbilt that day, you would have been like, this place is amazing. The students, you know, the Memorial Gym, and I don't think I've seen it like people always tell me, like, oh, you should have been here, you know, in 06 or 11 or whatever. But I mean, it's pretty special, man. It's a great old barn, and it should be a great home court advantage.
Somebody wants to get rid of it. This one texter says, had season tickets at Vanderbilt for 25 years in spite of coaching changes, ups and downs of the program. Main reason we finally quit is because Memorial is old and outdated, desperately needs to be replaced. In particular, millennials and Gen Z are not going to get in that place and sit on wooden benches and watch basketball. They need to get with the 21st century and build a new Coliseum.
Yeah, you know what you need to do, Texter? You need to go sit in a corner and stare at it all day.
Wow.
Okay? And text us back when you have something that's not an abomination of a take. My God. No. Just fix up the places. You know how many – you know, Ohio State plays at this place called Value City Arena. It's one of these new, nice new buildings. It's absolute crap. They used to play at St. John's Arena, just a little barn just like Memorial, and it was amazing. Penn State plays at one of the worst, big, nice facilities, Bryce Jordan. Is it Bryce Jordan? I think so. I don't know. Bryce something. It sucks. They used to have, you know, whatever it was called. It was like Assembly Hall or whatever. You don't get rid of these places. You just fix them up. And, yes, Memorial Gym still needs more fixing up. I'll be the first to acknowledge that. Hell no, you don't get rid of it. Anyone getting rid of these great old basketball cathedrals should be arrested. But I want to call out, Robbie, I want to draw Tennessee into this discussion a little bit. Because, I mean, I wrote this column for the Tennessean a long time ago. Steve Cavendish, our friend Steve Cavendish, he's written about it too. And people have talked about it. There's way too many good basketball programs in this state, first of all, that don't play each other, which is ridiculous. And, you know, I think, in particular with men's basketball, I think there's, you know, well, by the way, Belmont almost beat Tennessee last night in women's basketball. They gave him a hell of a run. But I think some sort of a tournament, and you could do it at Bridgestone. I would prefer Memorial. You could do it at Bridgestone. Get Middle involved. Get Belmont, Lipscomb. I mean, you know, again, get Memphis, get Tennessee. But also, until we have that, which we've been talking about forever, and it doesn't happen, and we need to make it happen. These teams, Tennessee and Vanderbilt in particular, they should be playing these teams. They should be playing Belmont. Vanderbilt played Lipscomb. Good job. Why are you not playing Belmont? How? Play Belmont. Men's and women's, you know, doubleheader. Do that. I mean, it's such a no-brainer. Tennessee, TSU, you know, these teams, they don't – okay, so I'm looking at Tennessee. They play TSU. And I'm going through, and this year, yeah, they play TSU. Like you should play Tennessee Tech. Like this should be obvious, and some high major coaches are going to tell you, well, the cost of losing one of those games is more than the reward for playing it. I reject that. I think the entire sport, part of this story, Robbie, is that the entire sport needs to think for the entire sport and do things that help the sport and get more interest, especially while football season's still going on. And if people can't think of the greater good, then well, then they're not contributing to the greater good, and they don't really have much to complain about, in my opinion.
Do you think that's going to help the attendance, though? I mean, Vanderbilt did play Lipscomb, and nobody showed up.
Yeah, it's fair. It's a fair question. I think Belmont. I would think that there would be years at least where like a Belmont game at Vanderbilt would that the attendance would. I mean, it's 2 seconds away. I know Lipscomb is too, but maybe there's a little bit more. There's more of a fan base for Belmont than there is for Lipscomb, to be fair. But you know, like this has happened before. Bryce Drew. I mean, I remember the game. They went and they played at Belmont. They actually played in their gym. Rick Bird, Belmont won. It was a packed house. It was awesome, you know. Now, Bryce Drew wasn't very upset after the game because that was the day he signed Darius Garland. They should just play each other and go to the other gyms too. To me, there's a greater good there. Again, executive assistant, associate producer, he does that stuff. And it's not necessarily just in-state stuff. He had a team called James Madison come up for the opener a couple years ago, coached by Mark Byington. They won in East Lansing. You know, I mean, that's a tough loss. But if you play these good mid-majors, that still can help your strength of schedule. There's still a benefit to it if they do well in their league. And there's just not enough of it. And I know that all these coaches can say, yeah, but I try to do this and I try to do that. Ultimately, these mid-major coaches, they obviously want to play those games. And for the most part, they get rejected.
Man, there's some people ripping Memorial Gym on the text line right now. Says it's a glorified high school gym. Says Joe sounds like an old curmudgeon. Maddie does say, tear down Memorial. Jeez, I hear there's a historic church downtown where people play live music now that needs to be refurbished too while they're at it. Come on, texters. Anchor down and embrace the historical. This is from Maddie on the text line.
Thank you, Maddie. You other people. My God. It's a
ripping Memorial
place. Yeah. Look, again, it needs to be updated, sure. But now, what are we even doing here? That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that weird looking that building on Broadway, that doesn't. I like how Kid Rock's Honky Tonk looks better. Let's have another one of those. Let's have another Kid Rock's Honky Tonk, and we'll just get rid of the rhyming. Get the hell out of here.
Here's what I'll say on the coaching front, real quick. Like, I don't necessarily have a problem with Shea Ralph and Mark Byington wanting more fans and saying that they need more fans in the building. I don't know that after the Furman game for the women's team and after the Eastern Kentucky game for the men's team is quite the time to be doing it. You know, Will on the text line says, hey, the first rule of sales in life is if you don't get it, you don't ask if you don't get. I say, why not ask fans to show up? Good for them. I get that. I don't know that after the Furman game where you win by 50 – and the Eastern Kentucky game where the men's team wins by 30 is necessarily the best timing on that front. Because, frankly, I would have no interest in watching either one of those games if I were a Vanderbilt fan.
Yeah. Now, again, the context, and I wasn't there, so I don't know. I've heard, you know, like it was especially down, you know, like especially low. And it is. It's, I mean, for whatever reason, and again, these programs are good now. It just, you haven't really seen that. Show up. And again, there can be so many things there too, right? I mean, just everything's so expensive now. I mean, I think that's part of it, you know? Like, you got to make tough choices. This city makes you make tough choices when it comes to entertainment. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Did you see the Butch Jones video last weekend? So this ties into all this.
Oh, no.
It's amazing. So, Arkansas State's playing at home, and they're coming out of the tunnel, right? And the camera is on Butch Jones, and you can see him. He goes, where are the fans? That's what where are the fans? And then the camera pans to the stands, and there's like 14 people in the crowd. It's amazing. It's, where are the fans? Where are they?
Poor Butch. Oh, Butch. That's hilarious. I got to find that.
It is awesome. It's amazing.
Let me shout out Paul real quick. He says, the people that want to tear down Memorial are the same people who are unable to quote Spinal Tap or the Big Lebowski. They don't count. Damn it, Paul, that is a perfect text. I love you.
It's Paul, your burner.
517 area code.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We got the Rob Rant coming up next. TD will be with us at 8 o'clock to look ahead to the Titans and the Texans. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Do we have any stats? Anybody?
My two-year-old is in here talking to me right now.
Sorry for talking.
Voices. I filled the room with meaningless noise.
Our latest criminal has made it in the building.
Get your police corps up to snuff.
Trying to kick an onside kick to start the second half, and we got to wait on the chain crew because they're eating a hot dog.
That is a $25 hot dog, folks. And it's also because you're 2-6 and you need to be in the office working.
Well, at least he didn't say he hated his father. It is time for the Rob Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. I apologize to all of you for having to listen to that loser Shane Beamer talk in that opening there, but we'll survive it together. We have for years now at this point.
Beautiful. Always put a Beamer in there. Put a Beamer or Drinkwitz in there, Ian, for the Rob Rant.
Beamer's really got some doozies.
Boy, does he suck.
Doozies, doesn't he? Man, that guy, he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, a little bit of a whiner. I know. You know, I've been trying to tell you guys for a couple years that Shane Beamer is the worst and that Matt LaFleur sucks. And now people are coming around. I'm glad everybody's coming around this week. It's good stuff. It's a big week for me on the program. Big week.
No doubt.
So, Joe, let me start today. The NFL has filed a grievance against the NFLPA to basically stop those annual team report cards that the NFLPA puts out that we talk a lot about here on the show. And they're saying that it violates the collective bargaining agreement by airing public criticism of teams. And this is what the NFL is going with. And this is from a story on ESPN.com by Seth Wickersham and Don Vanatta Jr. Quote, the league claims the report cards, which poll players on various aspects of working conditions, violate a CBA clause that says NFL owners and the union must, quote, use reasonable efforts to curtail public comments by club personnel or players, which express criticism of any club, its coach, or its operation and policy, end quote, according to an August letter from the league's management council to NFLPA general counsel Tom DiPaso that was obtained by ESPN. So they've been talking about this, apparently, Joe, for a few months, and now the NFLPA was alerted this past week that the NFL is moving ahead with this year's, or NFLPA is moving ahead with this year's survey. So this has been a very popular thing on social media the last 24 hours or so. Jeffrey Simmons was actually asked about this yesterday at Titans Media Availability. Here's what Jeffrey Simmons had to say.
NFL and NFLPA fight about a lot of things. And they have fought about a lot of things in the past. Like the report card, it's the truth. I'm sure guys not just going on there because it's not mandatory that guys fill it out. So they go on there and they fill it out. Whatever we put out there and whatever we grade, whatever we think on that report card, when we fill out the survey, that's the truth. So I don't really, you know, I haven't saw that just yet that they filed a grievance about it. But I think at the end of the day, it's the truth. And a lot of people don't like to hear the truth at times, but you know, we're gonna stick together, and you know, I'm sure we'll be ready to fight it as the PA.
So can the NFL please stop being soft? You're making money hand over fist, left and right. People love your product. People are always gonna watch your product. People love football. We get all this thing. The NFLPA, sometimes, Joe, the players don't like certain things about certain organizations. And yeah, that gets put out there. And you know where this probably comes from? The bad organizations. I don't know. Like the New York Jets and Woody Johnson.
Yep.
I think of the Titans a few years ago. Clearly this, you know, if you use it properly, you can improve things. I can't remember exactly what year it was, but it was a few years ago, the Titans scored really poorly in the treatment of families category, right?
Right.
And then the next year, they were awesome in treatment of families. So clearly, Amy Adams Strunk or somebody in that organization looked at the NFLPA report card and said, you know what? I guess we're not doing a very good job there. Let's see if we can't correct it. And the idea that this is supposed to be some bad thing and they're using the excuse of, well, we can't just be having public comments about how bad our situations can be at times. Nothing has really ever been that bad in there other than with the bad organizations. So stop being soft, NFL. Let the report cards continue. It's a talking point for like 3 days, and then people move on in the grand scheme of things. It's really not that big a deal. And by the way, it may allow you to actually fix some stuff that's in your organization when you get unfiltered, honest opinions from your players. So pound sand, NFL.
Well said. Complete asshattery. And yeah, Woody Johnson's exactly who this is. He's crying because he sucks. He's a clown. And people who work for him can't stand working there because it's a clown show. I mean, it's accountability. Let's have accountability for everybody in the league, except for the billionaires, the people who are actually, who don't have their money, restricted in any way, right? Who are just absolutely making a killing. And who, in some cases, I mean, like, I remember Clark Hunt, right? Like, that was the
– yeah.
Didn't he get, like, an F minus?
F minus, yeah.
For, like, this great team. But it's like, well, maybe you should fix some things. And I know the Bengals have – their cheapness has been well documented. So, no, this is a one of the best things I think the NFLPA has ever done. And it is – it's not unlike go to any like big college, there's always the anonymous like grading the professors thing. And it's a useful guide. It's a useful guide for students. It's also can foster improvement if someone wants to go ahead and look in the mirror and be like, okay, maybe I should everybody's saying I'm doing this and it bothers them. Maybe I should change that. Maybe I should do that. That's a great example you gave of the Titans. I don't know what they did. Maybe Kaharski, we could ask him next week. But there were some specific things they did that improved it. Good for you. That's the point. It's not just to rip people. These guys, now I also say this, Robbie, these surveys, I know that it's also there's coaches involved in this too, right? Yep. Yeah, so like the result of the survey from a couple of years ago in which Brian Callahan was like the most beloved coach in the league was part of him being an attractive candidate as a coach. So there is that. They have limitations.
And by the way, if you're Woody Johnson, if you're somebody else, you can make the argument of, well, you could still do the report card, just don't make it public. No, I think public's a good thing in this situation. Otherwise, I think it's good. Like, if you're bad in certain areas as an organization – to be publicly blasted for it, you can handle it. Everybody's adults in the room here. You're making billions of dollars every year with your league. That's not changing. You're going to be all right, I promise.
Again, it's like good for the NFL. They should be followed by all the other leagues in terms of these locker rooms need to be open X number of days. Locker room needs to be fully open after a game. They actually do it, unlike the NHL, where they still try to give you two freaking players after a game when it's supposed to be an open locker room. Good for the NFL. That's accountability for the players. And you can't even have your name mentioned in this survey. It's just astounding hypocrisy.
So I'm pulling hard for the NFLPA in this particular matter, and I hope that the report cards continue. And matter of fact, after this, I hope they add more detail to it. I hope they ask about 100 questions and just get into everything when it comes to these organizations.
I want to hear if anybody has, I'd like someone to go check out Amy Adams Strunk's Fox Hunting Society and see if they're actually good fox hunts.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Teron Davenport with us coming up next. Titans taking on the Texans this weekend. We will get into that with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.